What?
Oh.
Wait, what? Oh. Wait, I missed that. What happened?
Don't worry, we'll get it on the record.
I said I'd be here on time, but I was following you into the parking lot.
Today is April 6, 2017. This is Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Human Services. Today is a continuation of the public hearing on Senate Bill 5526, the Department of Human Services. Today we're diving into the Central and Program Design Services, Statewide Assessment, and Enterprise-Wide Costs. We'll have Director Psyche, Director Richardson, and Chief Financial Officer Moore. Come on up. I did not call you up, Brickman.
I know. That's literally why I am coming up.
So, Chair Redfield, Chair Steiner here, members of the committee, for the record, Clyde Psyche, Department of Human Services. And with me at the table is our Deputy Director, Dr. Reginald Richardson, and, of course, the famous Ms. Tamara Brinkman from the CFO's office. Dr. Richardson joined the department in June of 2015, and after a nationwide search, we hired him as our director for our self-sufficiency programs. But shortly after I joined the department, I asked him to step into the role of deputy director. Then in March of 2016, I made some leadership changes in our child welfare program. And I asked Dr. Richardson to step into the role of interim child welfare director. And so he asked me the question, does that mean I'm not going to be doing my deputy director duties? And I just kind of laughed. And I said, you really don't understand how state government works, do you, Dr. Richardson? And so for a period of time, he held down both roles for us. Until November of 2016, when we hired Ms. El Husseini as our child welfare director, and now Dr. Richardson, and at that point in time, got to go back to his real job. So Dr. Richardson came to us from the Family Institute at Northwestern University in Illinois. He was the vice president for evaluation and clinical services. He also served as a lecturer in the Northwestern Center for Applied Psychological and Family Studies. He's taught at all levels, undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral, authored several publications, and provided social work consultation to a variety of organizations. Yeah, every organization, to use a baseball analogy, any good baseball team has what you would call a utility player. It's a multi-talented person who can really step in wherever you have a hole and fill that hole with grace and professionalism and competence. And we are very fortunate to have such a person in Dr. Richardson with the department. So with that, let me turn it over to him.
Well, thank you, Director. I'm asking for a raise.
Good
morning. My name is...
My co-chair and I are already getting a lot of sleepless nights trying to cut your budget. Race is not included.
Back to reality. For the record, I'm Reginald Richardson. I have the privilege of serving as the Deputy Director for the Department of Human Services. What we'd like to do today in the time that we have is give you an overview of our central and program design services and the state assessment and enterprise-wide cost. What I'd like to do first is to explain there's some difference between how we refer to this part of our department. So we have an operational set of languages that we use to describe the department, which is a little bit different than how it's described in our budget. We're going to be discussing today our central services that support our programs that you've all had an opportunity to hear so far. In our budget, some of these programs that we refer to as central services are labeled as program design services for tracking purposes, but we'll refer to them all during the course of our time today as central services, so you may hear us use that term throughout our presentation. In terms of what we hope to accomplish, again, is to talk about these seven areas. And as deputy director of the department, I lead the operations division, or central and shared services. Operations is comprised of central and shared services. We'll be back on the 13th to share with you and talk with you more about our shared services. What you have next is a graphic depiction of sort of what we see as the role of the big picture of our operations. If you look at this area here, which is what we hope to show graphically, is the bricks or the foundation of our programs. What we do in central services is really about providing the foundation, the essential contributors to helping our programs achieve their missions for Oregonians. If you remember nothing else from the presentation today, what I'd like to be able to leave you with are these three important things. One is that central services is a foundational structure that provides support to the programs to do the work of assisting Oregonians. We provide the critical infrastructure that supports programs, and that we impact Oregonians directly and indirectly by the delivery of the services that we provide on behalf of the programs. There are seven central services that we'll be discussing today, or what we refer to as the foundational bricks of our work. The operations division is very diverse, and when I took that over, what I tried to do is to figure out how do you take this diverse group of programs and give them a sort of consistent vision moving forward. And so we went through a visioning exercise and came up with our mission and our operating principles. Our mission describes what our core purposes are and what the focus is of the work that we do on behalf of Oregonians. Our operating principles represent our fundamental norms that we agree that guides our behavior, our decision making, and our actions towards that end. They reflect what we need most to do our work well. So I want to jump into really talking about the programs specifically. The first program is licensing, and licensing is really about the work around our children's licensing area. DHS receives complaints, or we get applications for licensure, and licensure has an opportunity to go out and determine whether or not programs meet the minimum qualifications to receive a license. So one of the things I want to share with you is a sort of a story that is emblematic of the work that we do at DHS in our programs. We received a complaint regarding a medication compliance issue at a CCA, child caring agency. Licensing was assigned to investigate the complaint. Our licensing coordinator went out to determine whether there was compliance with our licensing rules, and we found that there was a lack of compliance with how medication was being administered to children. We required the agency to provide a plan of correction, and we offered them technical assistance to aid them in to becoming compliant. We happened to have a nurse on staff, and so we sent our nurse consultant out to assist, made arrangements for that to occur, and was able to train staff in the proper administration of medication so that the CCA was able to continue, and it resulted in kids being safer. That's an example of the work that our licensing unit does. If we move to some of the accomplishments, one of the things that this past year has seen is really our attempt to implement 1515, and a lot of our time has been focused on training up not only our staff, but also our providers' staff to understand the requirements of 1515. And so that's really been our focus there, is to make sure that we were implementing 1515 as prescribed in the law. One of the things I want to share with you is that since Director Psyche has been here at DHS, he's been very clear that he wants programs to be responsible directly for the work that they do. One of the things that we found pretty quickly is that when you would ask who's accountable for what, it was really hard to figure out who was accountable for what part of the program. And so one of the things that we are going to be doing is moving licensing back to the department, to Child Welfare Division, so that they will be responsible for that. And that'll be occurring in the next few weeks. The next program is the Office of Business Intelligence. That office is responsible for a number of areas of improvement to our agency, and one example of that is the provider status tracking system for self-sufficiency, APD, and our DD programs. This system was developed to help close a communication gap that was identified when a provider who was licensed that received a revocation in their license in one program area could go and sign up to receive or to be a part of services in another area of our department. And so what this system allowed us to do is to track when one part of the department removed a person from service so that we all would know that that person was no longer eligible for credentialing. That's one example of their work. The next office, we're going to talk a little bit about their accomplishments. I think one of the areas that DHS continues to struggle with is the use of data. We have quite a bit of data, but the analysis of our data, the understanding of our data, continues to be a challenge for us. And I think what this office has been able to help us to do is to understand what the data means and to become...
Senator Steinhardt.
I'm so sorry, Dr. Richardson.
No problem.
Can you go back? Oh, you're on this slide. Okay. 525 reports monthly? With all due respect, who the heck reads all those?
Co-chairs, Steiner Haywood and Co-chair Rayfield, we are in the process of those 525 reports trying to narrow down. That is a reduced number from the number of reports that we used to have 2 years ago.
That was not what I needed to hear at 8:30 in the morning.
Yes. So one of the things that we found is that because there are very specific reports, when you try to pull back a report, someone in one of our 184 offices will say, that's the critical report that I need. I can't do my job without that report. So it's trying to figure out which reports are most effective for the majority of folks, and we're still in that process trying to figure that out. But yes, 525 reports today. Be happy to share any of those with you.
No, thank you. But I would say this. I mean, we were joking at the very beginning of your presentation about your budget and our inability to do what we need to do, which is to both increase your staffing and increase the pay for your staff. And yet, I would have to imagine it takes a lot of time. Even if many of these are automated, you still have to have someone to make sure that, that there's fidelity to the data that you have available to them. I mean, 500, even if each one only takes an hour, you're talking about over 100 work weeks of people, 10 or 15 work weeks of people doing this stuff. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, right? Am I missing something?
Sure, I appreciate your concern. It's an ongoing issue of trying to make sure that we have the right reports to the right people.
Okay.
When you've got 8,000 employees out there, you know, 525 sounds like a large number. We'll continue to make sure that those reports go to the right people for the right information. But I absolutely agree that that's a large number, and we continue to make sure that we're getting the right information to the right people.
Well, there's a couple of questions, but really quickly, when you define a report, could that be something as simple as literally just going into a computer program and pressing a button and then it prints out? So it may not be, I mean, in theory, some of these could take 30 seconds.
Right. Most of the reports from this office, they've been able to get those reports automated. So these reports are not manually determined. These reports are a push of a button each month, that sort of thing. But again, I think it behooves us always to be making sure that we're getting the right types of information to the users.
Representative Buehler.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Dr. Richardson, along those lines, getting the right report to the right person, I was surprised to hear in media reports that the internal audit of your child services division didn't get to Director Sakey. Could you comment on that?
So, Representative Buehler, if it's okay with you, I'll comment on that for you. So, Chair Steiner Hayward and Chair Rayfield. So, I went back and asked why that happened. And to be honest with you, it was just a simple mistake. The person forgot to send it to me. They sent it to Senator Gelser. They sent it to our child welfare director, Director Al-Husseini, and it was just human error. They forgot to send it to me. But I think, you know, I had a conversation with Senator Gelser about this, and it is concerning to me that I did not receive that copy of the report when other people did. I think I don't subscribe any ill intent or anything to that. It was just basically someone got in a hurry, sent it to two people who were probably meant to send it to me and just inadvertently didn't do it. And that's the best explanation I can give you.
How often do internal reports like that bypass the director and go directly to legislators?
So Chair Steiner Hayward and Chair Rayfield, not very often. But I will tell you that in the case of this report, the senator and I had been in a meeting and we talked about the report, and I instructed staff that when the report was completed to send it to Senator Gelser. And so in that part of the process, they were just following my instructions. I think we had the discussion, well, do I need to make a public records request? And I said, oh, no, we'll share the report with you. And so in that meeting, I instructed staff that when it was finalized to get it to the senator. So they were following my instructions in that case.
Representative Alonso Leon.
So I'm just going to continue the conversation on the products of these reports. Having so many reports in 1 month, can you tell me how they're being utilized? Because, of course, you know, we can instruct staff to do reports, and I think sometimes, and some of them are federal reporting, some of them are for the state.
Right.
But how are you guys taking these reports and how are they used to either better the programs or better understand the cases? Can you just elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, co-chairs and Representative Alonzo Leon, there are a number of different ways that these reports are used. I can't tell you off the top of my head for those 525 reports specifically. If you're interested, we can get that information to you and how each of those reports and what some of the typical types of reports. But I know that some of them are management level reports. Some of them are data reports that show different sorts of things. But let me get that information to you and not talk off the top of my head.
So,
go ahead, Director.
Yeah. Chair Steiner Hayward and Chair Rayfield and Representative Alonzo Leon. So, I'm going to kind of jump in and help Dr. Richardson here because the reports, again, are used in a variety of different ways. Some of the reports help us populate the quarterly business review, that scorecard I gave you, so they track things that we're trying to measure success. Some of the reports are because we have federal reporting requirements. Some of the reports we take to help us build the federal government, there are elements that tell us how much service was provided, and so we use that to build the federal government for our federal funding sources, and those are just kind of some of the typical things that we use the reports for.
Thank you. So is it 525 reports every single month, and they're all separately different, or are they categorically kind of, you know, there's this category, and so we need to have 10 reports for this, and there's this other category, and we have to have 20 reports for this? Just trying to better understand your reporting system.
Yeah, I don't know.
Co-chairs and Representative Alonzo Leon, I don't know specifically. Let me get that information back to you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Senator Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to go back to the report. I feel a bit of personal obligation and responsibility in that I have not worked with an agency director that has been more engaged in reading reports and work products and documents and I just, for the record, want to acknowledge and thank you, Clyde, for all of the detail that you know about the agency. And if I look at the number of 525 reports, the number of people that are reporting to you, certainly the report was concerning. We had a moment I was surprised because I thought you'd had it, but that to me was not a reflection on you in any way. And the I just continue to be impressed with your capacity to know what's happening in your agency across all of these departments. And you know, one of the things that I was thinking of that weekend was a meeting we were in, and a new report came out, I think from SEIU, about DD, so across this whole thing. And I think it had been out for an hour, and you came into a child safety meeting and we pulled me out and talked about it. So I just don't want to leave the committee or the legislature or the impression or the public with the impression that I have any concern about how incredibly hard you work and how effective you are. And I really felt an obligation to say that on the record and just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Please continue.
Our next program area is the Office of Program Integrity. Our Program Integrity Office, for example, has a quality control unit that works with multiple programs, including the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, that provides food assistance to 1 in 5 Oregonians. When we conduct reviews for SNAP, some of the things that we look at are the accuracy and eligibility determinations, accuracy and overpayment to our clients, timeliness and compliance with federal regulations. When we find areas that need to be improved, we train staff. This can either be a single office, a district, or a statewide, depending on what the findings might be. This work is key in making sure that we meet the federal expectations, which allows us to keep receiving our federal funding. It provides assurances that the program is working as planned and that those getting benefits are supported and are receiving the correct amount of benefits. Some of the accomplishments of this particular area are listed on the slides here. When we find areas that need improvement, we discuss it with the program area so that they have an opportunity to put in corrective measures in place and can provide topical refreshers or comprehensive training to staff depending on what need might be. Then we follow up the training, which again can be either a single office, a district, or a statewide, depending on what the quality unit review finds. The next program is the Office of Equity and Multicultural Services. As the population of people of color continue to increase in our state, it brings both opportunities and challenges to ensure that equity of services is maintained and improved. The Office of Equity and Multicultural Services helps in this regard. For example, the Office of Equity and Multicultural Services recently received an urgent call from our Ontario office that they were receiving about 20 Somalian families and expected more were moving into the area and were seeking services. OEMS partnered with the Africa House. We went out to Ontario and provided cultural training for our DHS staff. We worked with community partners, including the Sheriff's Office, school districts, hospitals, and emergency services, as well as other social service organizations and other providers in the area. In addition, OEMS and Africa House hosted an event in one of the local schools where we brought the Somalian community together to discuss services that would be available and any other specific needs or concerns of that community. We identified a community leader and introduced the children and families to the YMCA. The next slide talks about just a couple of the accomplishments of this office. I'll just highlight that 3,600 staff from 20 agencies attended our diversity conference. We have 16 diversity community support groups statewide. Next is our Office of Continuous Improvement. One of the examples of a project by our Office of Continuous Improvement is the Self-Sufficiency Programs Work Share Site project. Oftentimes, our offices
because of the flux in work, or you know, this past winter, closures of offices, the workload is inconsistent. And so our staff and the programs visited with Washington State, which uses a variation of the program that I'm going to describe in a moment. This model created a local pilot to learn more about the details that would make this a successful application. The purpose was to explore what it would take to create a statewide workload model in which clients are served by the next available worker, regardless of their physical location. This allowed us to explore the capacities of DHS to increase the timeliness of benefits to clients and improve equity and staff utilization across districts. We were able to share work at times of high demand or when operations were impacted by closures because of weather emergencies. So this is done electronically. In the past, we used to move staff to meet the need, but now with this project, we can move the work to where staff is available to ensure that benefits are continued. Next slide talks again a little bit about some accomplishments. The Office of Continuous Improvement provides services in three primary components which integrate to improve service delivery and outcomes by Oregonians, or for Oregonians. They provide direct program support, training development and facilitation, and regionally focused field support to our staff. Finally, for my part, is the director's office and policy. Under the director's office, we have human resources, tribal affairs, performance management, executive projects, public affairs, integrated eligibility project, and the governor's advocacy office. The next slide talks about some of the accomplishments for each of those offices. And at this point, what I'd like to do is move on to the Office of Budget and ask Eric Moore, our Chief Financial Officer, to come up.
Good day. Thank you, Dr. Richardson. For the record, my name is Eric Moore. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Department of Human Services. Co-chairs, members of the committee, talk about our central services budget. A key goal is providing management budget reports to accurately project better information for program on how to manage their budget. This helps program determine amounts of the contracts and other payments the departments can make during the biennium. Budget helps identify where there may be overspending or savings so program can adjust accordingly. Budget works with program to anticipate the impact of policy and program changes in future projections. Some of the accomplishments and challenges the budget team has had over the last 2 years. DHS has 11 analysts for its $10.65 billion 15-17 budget, which includes many individual programs. Over the last year, turnover due to workload issues have been a challenge for the budget unit. DHS budget is trying to take advantage of newer technology in pulling reports to reduce the time analysts spend on manipulating spreadsheets and more time actually analyzing the budget. We are also spending a lot more time analyzing revenue sources to ensure that our revenues and expenditures line up and that we have revenues to back up our budget. For central program design and our SAEC, or the statewide assessments and enterprise-wide costs, I'm just going to use SAEC if that's okay. It's a mouthful for the rest of it. As program needs increase, central office program design services and SAEC resources remain basically static. Central and program design and SAE services are the key foundation to supporting program policies. The level of central program design and SAE services has not kept up with program investments. We are doing more with about the same level of resources by seeking efficiencies. However, we are nearing a tipping point and our capacity for new or innovative work is dwindling. Central and program design and SAE services provide critical support services to ensure programs are able to deliver their programs and achieve their missions and goals. Next slide gets into the budget for central program design and SAEC costs, which is about 6% of the budget. This includes money for the integrated eligibility project, which I'll talk about in a moment, which somewhat skews the number for the 17-19 budget. This next slide breaks down the red slice from the prior slide into its subparts. Note that we broke out the shared services funding, which is a major part of our statewide assessment and enterprise-wide costs, and pays for our shared services that we share with OHA, between OHA and DHS. Also included in this budget are small amounts for a Treasury cash flow loan limitation that is occasionally needed at the end of the biennium for cash flow purposes and debt service. As a note, I must point out that the integrated eligibility project numbers are out of date and are being relooked at. With a new independent project manager on board, he will be looking at current estimates to verify that they are as accurate as possible for a successful project. At this time, our revised estimates are significantly higher than what is in the governor's budget due to timeline slippage, contingency funding, vendor negotiations and performance assessments, and added scopes such as disaster recovery and the legacy system work that was not in the original proposal. In addition, the change in service delivery model has impacted the scope of the project. DHS and OHA plan to have final numbers by the time we present at the Joint Committee on Information Management and Technology on April 20th. This slide further breaks down the program design, which is in purple, and the central services in blue. For context, these numbers do not include the integrated eligibility project, which skews the DHS Office of Information Technology Business Supports budget. It would take up most of the slide if we had included that large amount into this slide. The Office of IT Business Support shows us program design services right now, but in the reshoot that will be coming in April, most of it will be moving into program, with the exception of the modernization positions that support the integrated eligibility project and other cross-programmatic modernization projects. The changes being made to align technical staff with the program areas being supported for operational issues. This will improve responsiveness and accountability to each program and give them more direct control over IT business support resources. Work that cuts across multiple programs will continue to be managed at the agency level, with core staff augmented by the Office of Information Services, which is a shared service provided by the Oregon Health Authority. Also of note is the Office of Licensing and Regulatory Oversight. Most of this unit's functions have been moved back to program to provide more responsiveness and accountability over the licensing functions. The remaining portions, as mentioned by Dr. Richardson, are for child caring agencies that will be moved to the Child Welfare Program once that new structure is in place. DHS would also like to move the program design services budget structure underneath the central budget structure to better reflect how we are managing the business. DHS would like to work with the committee and with LFO to change the budget structure to more align with its business needs. The next slide lays out our SAEC budget. I'd just like to highlight a few lines. The first is the facilities line. This is where we budget all of our rents, our facility-related projects, and facility-related costs. Second, as we've talked about, it includes our shared services funding that pays for the services provided by both DHS and OHA as a shared service. This budget also includes our state government service charge, which is about 20% of the SAE expenditures, and you can see each of the individual assessments that are charged to DHS throughout the year. Finally, I'd like to highlight the Secretary of State line item. The governor's budget is funded assuming that the state may draw federal funds on all audits, including performance audits conducted by the Secretary of State. However, the federal government has stated that it will not participate in paying for performance audits, as opposed to compliance or financial audits. This means there's about a $1 million difference in general fund due to the assumption that we can leverage federal fund for all performance audits. The last information I have is that the Secretary of State is still in negotiation with the federal government as to what percentage of audits that the federal government will participate in. With that, we have our last key performance measure that revolves around customer service. We'll note that there are 2 years that we did not collect all of the information of in this particular key performance measure. But overall, DHS is meeting or exceeding its targets in accuracy, overall experience, helpfulness, expertise, and available of information. And we are just shy of our target for timeliness. And with that, back to you, Dr. Richardson.
Thank you. So in summary, our central and program design services are really fundamental to the delivery of the services that you've heard for the last week or 2 weeks from our programs. We support the programs in their delivery of their missions to the direct services to Oregonians. It's easy to think about our area as simply administration, but without administration and having the infrastructure to support programs, it puts our programs at risk. Our mission is to make sure that the services that we provide are data-informed, accountable, and transparent, and that our demand for services continue to outpace our resources, which is really straining the foundation of our DHS house, if you will. And so with that, be happy to take any additional questions that you might have.
Representative Alonso Leon.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick reminder, can you remind me again how this, I guess, how you're sending out these evaluations to folks? How are they given? Are they given by phone? I don't remember. I think Director Saiki, you explained this, but I wanted to kind of remind me of how this is given out to folks.
Are you talking about the KPMs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe the KPM, that particular KPM is done online. There's an email sent out to folks who have applied for our SNAP benefits online, and I think we then provide an opportunity for folks to respond. But let me, I've got staff in the room. Let me see if some of them might have a better answer. Can we do that? So I'm reminded that in addition to what I said, there's other opportunities that folks will have to go on our website and other places to give us feedback, and that this is a combination of that feedback.
Please.
So then my assumption or trigger your response, this evaluation is basically only to folks who have online or website access. That means we're missing out folks who don't have access to the internet. And then is this, remind me, is this, and many comes in many languages, and is this given to folks who don't, who are illiterate, but, you know, obviously are taking advantage of some of the services. Are those other folks being considered in this evaluation?
Co-chair is Representative Alonso Leon. There are opportunities for folks to fill out feedback forms in our branches. I think you bring up a good point, particularly for those who don't have access or aren't literate. Our SNAP program is our largest program with more than 700,000, so there's a lot of people that we have access to. But I think your point is well taken. How we make sure that we access other languages, I don't know off the top of my head. That's a great point. We'll find out and make sure we get back to you on that answer.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Ms. Byerly, is there anything else for the committee?
Nothing for today, Mr. Co-Chair. So next week, there's no meeting on Monday. Then Tuesday, the department will be back along with the Chief Financial Office to kind of wrap up the budget and talk a little bit about the governor's budget. No meeting Wednesday. And then Thursday, both Oregon Health Authority and Department of Human Services will be back to talk about the shared services programs.
All right. And with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Psyche.